Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, everybody. I'm just like yelling into a empty room. Happy Fat Mascara. It's a new episode. I am Jen.
I'm Jess.
We have a lot to talk about this week. When don't we have a lot to talk about?
There's a lot going on today.
The world is busy.
We are talking about brow and lash tints, guys.
This is deep stuff.
It's getting heavy. And then we are coming up on Halloween. Woo.
Was that your ghost noise? Yeah. We need to work on that.
You bet. It sounded like I was like a British woman that got a chill.
Fainting. You were like fainting onto a fainting couch.
So we're talking about sheet masks. Boo.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to talk about Sally Hansen. Real lady. We're going to do a book report, Dr. Bronner style, for OG listeners of the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
And then we have a big interview.
We're interviewing the interviewer, if you will. B. Shapiro is here. She's a columnist for the New York Times. If you guys read that newspaper, there's a column, Skin Deep.
That newspaper.
You might have heard of it. It's called The Times. She does the Skin Deep column for them, also writes about beauty, style, and fashion. And she has a new book that just came out last month, Skin Deep, which is a collection of her columns from the New York Times. Such an interesting interview. Like, usually when you interview someone who does interviews, you're not sure what you're going to get, but she gave us all the dirt on the celebrities.
It was fantastic. It was hard hitting.
Yeah, I liked it.
Juicy.
So we'll get into that. Let's have a great episode.
Jen, notice anything different about my lashes?
They just look fabulous as usual.
Thank you. Well, I'm not wearing any mascara. I got them tinted.
First, let's have a moment for your not wearing mascara on Fat Mascara.
I know. Well, here's the thing. My lashes, they're not red or and they're not blonde, but they're kind of like, they get kind of like pale and they get kind of almost like clear at the ends.
I think a lot of people's do, actually.
It's the sun. It's the sun hitting them. And my brow gal, her name is Angela, and she works at Exhale on Madison Avenue. We'll put a link. She's fantastic. She said last time I saw her, like in the summer, she said, "What about tinting your lashes?" And I thought that, and I said, "I have sensitive eyes." "No, no, 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 no." And she said, "Oh," so I was like, let's keep tweezing. No. And she said, no, she said, "Lots of my clients have sensitive eyes. I use a very gentle dye. It's a vegetable dye. You know, I put this like little protecting thing." It was kind of like, "I've heard this before. I think it's going to look great." So I trusted her.
I'm getting giggles thinking about the protective thing. Can I just tell you what I'm picturing and then you tell me what really happens?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what a dental dam looks like, and or when you're at the dentist and they put those weird plastic raincoats around while they're like spraying stuff on a tooth?
I've heard, I actually don't know what these things look like. I've heard of them.
It's like a condom-y thing, and I feel like your lashes are just peeking out from this plastic sheeting that's down over
it
them.
It was a little black raincoat underneath my, almost like those little, like an eye mask, like a little under eye mask.
Oh,
underneath.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a little like black raincoat underneath. It was a very, like these dyes come in very various vegetable-based dye shades to match your, you know, your eyelash color.
So you're not dyeing darker, you're just dyeing the root color?
No, she dyed them darker.
Okay.
So she took a color that matched like my brows, which are darker, you know? And she put on this little like silicone kind of thing under, I think. And I closed my eyes and she painted, I mean, I couldn't see because my eyes were closed. She painted my lashes with this solution. Now, this, she says, is excellent for those invisible blonde hairs, anything that gets discolored from sun rays, from age, I hate to say it, and it gives definition and it will enhance the color of your eyes.
I think she's totally right.
Because
the benefits,
eyes look
greener. Tell me, how long do you have to sit there with your eyes closed with this dye on them?
You ready? Maybe 6 minutes.
So you took a little nap?
Well, we had a little chat.
With your eyes closed.
And when you know what I loved? And I think this is just like speaks to her service. She never left the room.
Oh, I feel like I would want them to. Like, just let me rest here with my eyes closed for 6 minutes.
No, because I was, for somebody with sensitive
eyes.
Oh,
you were nervous.
I was nervous that like something was going to drip into my eyeball. And I was going to be like, as somebody who had corrective eye surgery, I'm very protective about my eyes.
So for 6 minutes you sit there, then what? She wipes it off?
She took the most cooling, delicious, like, I don't know what the hell was on this pad. She just wiped it off. And she cleaned up my eyes. And then I'll put this on her Instagram. It's not going to be the most gorgeous photo, but a before and after, you can see I have like, it looks like I had gray lashes before and now I have dark lashes and it looks like I have long lashes. I never thought I had long lashes. I did.
But the ends were clear.
The ends were freaking clear.
You know what? For someone like me who is, you know, I'm gray, my lashes are starting to gray.
But that's normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's totally
but
normal.
Maybe I should get them dyed as well.
I think it's worth checking out. I was such a skeptic. Things like, guys, I know we're working on a beauty podcast. I'm a beauty editor. There are certain things that are too much for me. Lash extensions, I tried them once, not again.
This seems invasive, but you're saying it's like...
It was so no big deal.
How much does it usually cost, do you think? It probably varies from salon to salon.
I think for her, it was, and Angela, don't kill me, and we'll put this on the blog. I think it was probably, and she's at Exhale, which is, you know, a Tony Upper East Side place, probably $70. Maybe
How
for the
often?
Maybe she's between 40 and 70.
How often would one have to do this?
Great question. It'll last, she said, about 4 weeks.
Okay, so it's a monthly service.
Yeah, but it's so much lower maintenance than lash extensions.
Oh.
I don't need to wear mascara.
Right.
I wake up, my face looks defined. When I woke up before, I looked like I came out of like, you know, like a newt.
So it's almost like having a light mascara on. Then if you want to go out a little drama at night with like a curling mascara, you'll still use mascara.
Not wearing mascara.
Like, no,
I look
you
great.
Look the same as you do when you wear mascara to me.
Yeah.
So cool.
So I'm into this. And everything I just said can be applied to brows too. So it's the same thing. If you have gray brows, guys, I found a gray brow.
Please, I have all gray brows, but that's actually less expensive because my hairstylist just does it with the hair dye and doesn't even charge me. She just puts
that's
a little
nice.
Extra on.
Yeah.
So ask your hairstylist if she might offer that service for free so you don't have to go to a special place.
Right.
But it works for both.
Exactly. So I'll link to her. It was fantastic, painless. And if you are nervous or have sensitivity, just ask your brow gal for a patch test before. That goes with so many other treatments. M to the A, to the S, to the K. Put the mask on your face just to make it next day. Brothers became... I just found out that Neutrogena is going to be delivering a boatload of sheet masks to drugstores and mass retailers this month.
In October?
Yes, just in time for Halloween.
Okay, I didn't know where this was going. I was like, what are they delivering where? You mean they're coming out with new masks?
Yes, but like, when do you see mass sheet masks? Like, okay, like
at mass from a big brand that you know.
Yeah, exactly. There are some like wonky ones out there and there are some like kooky ones, but like for a big brand.
No, this is exciting. But let's talk. Are they good? What are they? What kind of masks?
So I saw Cutie Patootie Dr. Zeichner try one on at the recent Neutrogena event.
Jay-Z.
Check out her Instagram. It's so funny.
Oh, that picture.
He's got the two thumbs up. He likes it.
Okay, what kind of mask are they doing?
So they're doing four different kinds. They're for four different targeted concerns. Mm-hmm. And they're $4.99 a pop.
Okay, are they, though, this is my question with masks, are they cotton or cellulose, or do you remember what the fabric was?
So funny you should ask.
Is it now?
Yes. They are cellulose, and Dr. Z was really into that fact. I think it's because they fit his face like a little glove.
The cellulose mask thing, I've looked into this because it was such a selling point. Like maybe a year ago, sheet masks were already out from, as you know, they got started in Korea. They came over here. You've definitely seen them. And they were all like that cottony, papery feeling. And then they started doing cellulose. So if you've not used one of those yet, it's like, I'm saying slimy, but that's a negative connotation, but it's a chewier, softer, wet material that adheres even more closely to your face than the papery cotton kind.
They remind me of those things that like people stick on the windows for their kids.
Like a film, like a sticky film. Yeah.
Yeah, like the decals.
Okay, so they do cost more than the cotton ones. Mm-hmm. Here's your benefit. I was like, oh, they're giving you a brighter face and whatever. Truly, the benefit is more in the use because they adhere more tightly so that you can walk around and do stuff and it's mm-hmm. not going to flop off and fall
yes.
off. Does that make the ingredients penetrate better? I mean, if you're lying down, it doesn't make a difference. But they do stick on nicely. Do you want me to blow your mind? Because I looked into what biocellulose is.
Blow my mind.
Okay. So if you remember, I went on that vinegar reporting trip to learn all about apple cider vinegar.
Who could forget?
Who can forget? It was riveting material on podcast Fat Mascara. So the acetobacter bacteria that turns apple juice into apple cider vinegar, the byproduct of that is cellulose.
Oh, wow.
So like if you make kombucha or vinegar at home, and who doesn't, people? I'm turning into Gwyneth right now. As it's processing, this film, it's almost like a spider webby kind of like blob, they call it the mother, forms on top. That is pure cellulose, which is also the same kind of thing. It's in wood. You know, it's like a natural ingredient that grows. It has like fibrousness to it, but it's mm-hmm. also like kind of jelly-ish.
Right.
That is what they use to make the biocellulose masks.
Got it.
So they'll weave it in with cotton or rayon or something else and along with the biocellulose, and it gives it that nice like dreamy, and they're always cooling, the biocellulose ones. Like you put it on, you're like, oh, okay. Like if you're sensitive, I feel like that's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad they're using that material, because I think of Neutrogena as like a little upgraded drugstore brand.
Yeah, they were doing like the hydrogel kind of before other mask brands.
They're good with moisturizing. I bet they have a really good moisturizing one.
Yeah. I think I tried that one.
So I'm going to be putting one of those on as my Halloween costume. Could that be my Halloween costume, actually?
Well, I'm going to see you Halloween weekend. So I'm going to see you like jumping out of a cornfield with that mask on.
Can I tell people why you're going to see me?
Sure, why not?
Because it's your bachelorette party.
What's up?
So we're all going to put on face masks and jump out of cornfields.
Fat mascara style.
That wasn't the point of this segment. The point is, Neutrogena has new masks, and now you know what biocellulose is. Jess, guess what time it is?
What time is it?
It's book report time.
Sweet.
Long time listeners will remember. Actually, not that long time listeners. We did a little deep dive into Dr. Bronner back in episode 56.
Mm.
I wanted to make a diorama about it. You shared a lot of history. I have a new beauty character to teach you all about. Sally Hansen.
Oh my God, hard as nails, Sally Hansen?
It's so funny.
It's Sally hard as nails Hansen?
Sally hard as nails Hansen. She was a frontierswoman? No, I don't know. Well, Sally Hansen I remember asking this of the publicist like years ago, like, who is Sally Hansen? And they were like, you know, an entrepreneur. But more recently, they decided to do a deep dive. They hired someone like an investigative historian to see if they could figure out where and how the company started.
That's cool.
You know, they did our job for us, a little bit of reporting. She was a real woman. Get this. She shared a job with us.
Keep going.
We'll get into the beauty in a second, but my favorite fact about her life is she was a columnist for the LA Times. Wait, isn't this appropriate? Because we're talking about this during B. Shapiro's episode as well.
Oh, wow, yeah.
She wrote The Candid Mirror. So she did like a beauty tips column for
the
LA Times. But how she started the nail company was in 1935, she took over her parents' beauty company, which had the name La Fine, with an accent on the end. So maybe it's La Fine. I don't know.
Listen, I don't speak French.
But this wise entrepreneur that she was, she changed it to House of Hollywood.
Oh my God.
Our kind of girl. Just get on the Charlotte Tilbury bandwagon very early.
Keep it simple.
Exactly, people.
K-I-S-S.
So she changed the name, and then as she's doing beauty retail, she also invented a nail product, the most famous being the game-changing Hard as Nails. That was invented in 1957. So I think it's still around. It's a nail polish with strengtheners in it.
Nice.
So, and that's when she put her name on the products as well. And her, I think it was her one of her husbands. She was quite the lover, Sally Hansen. Her third husband was a graphic designer, and he worked on the packaging for that. And the business, of course, went on to be traded and sold, and that's how it was hard to find out who started it. It's now owned by Coty, the conglomerate that owns what else they own? Rimmel, CoverGirl, a bunch of other stuff.
They own a lot.
Yeah. But I love to know that there's a person behind this. Because also, why would you pick that name if there weren't a person?
I always thought that it was just kind of like this made-up name.
Because there are some other brands that have just like, it sounded good, you know?
Yeah. I also love, like, I feel like I now, looking at Sally Hansen, I'm looking at it as a slightly different company. Just looking at the nail polishes, knowing this insight now, it's sort of like a... The same way I look at like a Bobbi Brown or a Charlotte Tilbury, it's a Sally Hansen. It's like the OG, like a Helena Rubinstein.
Yeah, or Max Factor back in the
day.
Exactly. It's like an OG, yeah.
I think they should be promoting this history a little bit more.
She's really just, I'm impressed. It's like a heritage brand now. I like the whole history behind it. Always like the products as well, so that's nice. But who knew?
Who knew?
Are you going to make a diorama about her?
I am. You're going to make a diorama?
With all three of her husbands lined up behind her, supporting her in her beauty entrepreneurship.
I want to be in the headline. Anything to be in the headline. As long as they spell my name right, I hope they can catch my best.
We're here with B. Shapiro, who's a writer for the New York Times. She founded her own beauty line, which we'll definitely get into, and she's an author of a new book. Welcome to Fat Mascara, B. Shapiro.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for having
me. Your book is Skin Deep, right?
Yes, that's right.
So what's Skin Deep about, and what was the impetus to put it out now?
So Skin Deep is my column at the New York Times, and so it's really lighthearted. When we first thought about it, we're like, okay, there's all these beauty tips, but how do you sort through them? And I think there's something really intimate about beauty regimens when you're starting to talk to somebody, not just in a profile interview, but when you really start to get down to like what they use in the morning, what they're using at night. And we saw, so when we first started this, we thought it was a really great way in to beauty. And so that's where the idea of the Skin Deep came from.
So you helped launch the column in the New York Times.
Yes.
So it was your idea.
It was me and my editors at the time, I would say. We were just, you know, sort of germinating and like, okay, what's a good way to pass along info without it being preachy? I think one problem, you know, being at the newspaper is that people always want authenticity and truthfulness, but also like, why would you trust so-and-so over somebody else? Mm-hmm. So I think that from my standpoint, I look a certain way, I have certain issues. I don't think everybody has those issues. So we thought, okay, why don't we get all these different women? So we try to keep it as diverse as possible. I try, at least, like from age range to skin issues to color and all that stuff.
So the book is a collection of columns. Over how many years have you been doing this?
Ooh, I think it's about 3 years.
Oh, really? That's all? I feel like it's been around forever.
No.
Some are celebrities, right?
Yes. Some are
athletes.
I would say they're all notables. They're all celebrities. I feel like the idea of celebrities totally broadened if you think about it. Everything from like an influencer to an editor to an entrepreneur. To me, in many ways, they're all celebrities. But yes, they're celebrities and a mix of other notable people.
A lot of like women about town.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll get into some of your favorites. But before we get into the book and what you wrote about, I did not know this before I read it. You were a lawyer before?
Yeah.
So how did you switch gears and become the New York Times Skin Deep columnist?
It was not a direct path. I think it's funny when I talk to younger people who are like in college and like studying journalism. I did not study journalism. I did not even think journalism was part of my career plan, to be totally honest with you. Instead, I was that typical like liberal arts major. I majored in art and in finance. Finance because, you know, I'm an immigrant Asian, so that was like the thing to do. And my mom was worried I wouldn't get a job. I did not get a job. And so then I went to law school. And so that's how that happened. And I felt like, okay, I better finish my law degree. I better get a job. And so I finally did get a job, and then I hated it. So I felt like I should have just taken a break and figured out what I wanted to do. Instead, I like followed this path to be a lawyer, when really the reason I wanted to be a lawyer is because I love reading. I love writing. I love the written word. It just took me so long to get there. It was like a long path.
How many years did you practice law? Or were you in the law world?
Just one.
She was like, let me out.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it took.
Yes.
What kind of law was it?
It was hedge funds.
Oh, gosh.
Using your finance background.
You know, I was watching Billions the other day, and I was like, this is amazing. This is like the glamorous fake life, right, of like what's all going on.
Just like Devil Wears Prada and whatever is the glamorous version of what we do.
Totally. Yeah.
So thinking about beauty, you know, talking about it, writing about it, using the products associated with it, like, it gets this very frivolous reputation. Even when I talk to people about what I do, like, oh, that's so cool, like, you must just like play with products all day.
Isn't
and you
that
know
cute?
It does. Yeah, right. I'm just like, yeah, like, it's cool, because then to start talking about that it's actually bigger than that makes it's a whole conversation. You write about it for the New York Times, so
right,
that's a whole different, that's a way different, you know, echelon. What do you say to people when they kind of give you that, like, oh, beauty, that's so cool?
Right. It is annoying, I'm not going to lie. But I think the way that I address it is, well, you know what? Everybody cares about it. I think, unfortunately.
That shuts it down.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, when you walk in the door, whether it's a conference room, whether it's the deli, whether it's anything, we're visual people. And so appearances matter. And I think however way you put yourself together, not just fashion. I think fashion more and more, you see more and more uniforms, especially in Silicon Valley, but no one wants bad skin. Like, everybody wants their beauty part. Everyone wants nice hair. I mean, I've yet to meet anybody saying, oh no, I want the worst hair in the world, or I really don't care. My skin is bumpy and, you know, it has discoloration in it. So I think that's the way I sort of address it. It's so universal. And I do get irritated because I also think that from my interviews, more people are willing to talk about their fashion than their beauty. Beauty is seen as tied as being very close to vanity. And I think that's unfortunate because I also think it's tied really closely to self-care.
So we should be less thinking it's vain and more about it's caring for oneself.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's part of the way you get ready.
I need this answer when people ask me, I think.
Wait, why? People?
Well, because I think a lot of people think like, oh, it's frivolous. Like, they poo-poo it, you know? And I want to say what you just said, which is it's not about vanity. It's about self-care.
Right.
And we all have faces.
Yeah.
It's true.
I thought you meant that when people ask you for your secrets, your tips, you don't want to talk to them about it.
Oh, God, no. That's what the podcast is for.
I was like, wait a second. I was like, wait. I'm like, what's going on?
We're sharing.
Do you think that people are guarded about what they do because they want to not just appear that, not just not seem vain, but because they don't want literally like their tips to get out? They want to appear naturally fabulous?
There is definitely a large contingent of girls who want to seem effortless. Mm-hmm. The girls who are like, I don't work out that much. I just do one yoga class a week. And, oh, you know, I don't wear barely any makeup on my days off. But, you know, they look amazing in all the tabloids and Instagram photos. I'm like, come on, you know. So I definitely think there is that girl who still, it's a very old school notion where she just wants to come off like it's effortless, like nothing happened, like it's Sex and the City.
Right.
But I do think, especially in the hardcore Instagram beauty girls, I think it's great that they share. Like, you see Huda Beauty with no makeup on all the time, you know, when she's putting on different things. Or in transformations, you see the girl looking not so great and then turning out beautiful. It's aspirational in a different way, in that it's revealing every step to it. So I do think there's, like, a younger generation coming up to where that's not the thing. They're okay. They're celebrating the fact that they use tons of makeup and get Botox and whatever else they're doing. So
how do you get some of these people? I'm thinking especially about these people who are like, oh, you know, just like a little, like I walk, I drink water, you know, like coconut oil. How do you get these people to really open up?
It's hard. These some of them, subjects. Right. It's hard. Some of them really, it's like through and through, they're not going to tell you anything. Okay. I do realize that there are genetic mutations out there who really have to do nothing and literally their skin is perfect. But I think that the way, I feel like because we cover different categories, we cover hair, we cover fragrance, we cover skincare. I feel like there's usually at least one they care about. Mm. So I try to find my way in. So like, I don't try to push them too hard in categories. They're really like, no, the only thing I use is Cetaphil. You know, if they keep saying that, then I just let it go. Okay, so then what about hair? What about this? There's usually at least one.
Yeah, we always go to candles if we can't find anything else. We're like, you got to burn a candle. Like, tell us.
Yeah, you don't wear fragrance, but.
Do you do a lot of these interviews over the phone or in person?
Before I had kids, I used to do a lot more in person. And ever since I had kids, I've sort of just pushed for the phone interview.
Right. So what's like the weirdest place? You've interviewed some big time celebrities. Like, give us a couple examples like of where you've had to interview a celebrity. Like, is there any crazy places?
I wouldn't say location wise. I would say circumstances.
Tell me.
There's definitely been, you know, especially with musicians. Musicians are always the zaniest, right? Mm-hmm. There's always weed. There's always like random groupies. Like, where did this person come from? And
wait, the women have like random groupies?
They're just random groupies in general. Wow. I feel like in music worlds, particularly, it's like groupie central. And just who is this person? Is that an assistant or is that a manager? Like you're in a, where did like that which, person come from?
Which musicians have you been in a room with and there's like all these other people and you're like, I have no idea what they do?
Wiz Khalifa, but she's not in the book. This is all woman. But that just one was just like, I was like, why is there 40 people in here?
What is your role?
Yeah, I did not understand.
Are you on the payroll?
Wiz Khalifa did Skin Deep, but did I miss that
No,
one?
He didn't do Skin Deep. He did my Men's Style column, which is about fashion.
Did you ask him about grooming at all?
No, not for that one. I felt like I needed to be focused because sometimes when they do smoke too much weed, it's like you have a limited attention span, so you got to get your questions in.
What's the hardest interview, maybe even that's included in this book? Like you, it took you a while to get this stuff out of the woman.
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, my hardest interview is Gwyneth Paltrow. I've interviewed her 5 times. And I think that it's not that she's not willing to share. She is willing to share. For me, it's the dynamic of the interview.
Like, what's the dynamic like?
I don't think she likes me. Oh. That's the dynamic.
Why wouldn't anybody like you?
I have no idea. I've interviewed her 5 different times. So at this point.
She knows who you are.
I actually don't know if she does.
Like, don't you hate me. That? You've met someone like 8 times and they're like, hi, nice to meet you.
You know what I mean. Yeah. I actually don't think she knows.
Are you
who
just
I am.
Feeling like a chill? You just feel like a chill?
I don't know. I think she just doesn't want to be there.
Well, listen, she's got her own beauty brand, so maybe she's just like, you know, I got to get back to work. So
she's busy.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know why. So she's always been my hardest.
All right. She seems like a tough nut to crack, though.
Maybe. And also she does have her things that she wants to hit, right? Like she has all the products and Goop she's selling, so she wants to talk about that. And I kind of want to talk about other stuff. I'm sure she does other stuff.
That brings up a point I was going to ask you later, but I'll ask you now. A lot of these, I don't know if people realize this, we get a lot of interviews because so-and-so is shilling a product for a brand or they have their own brand. It being the New York Times, like, is that the way in for some of your interviews first? Part of the, so it is the same. And then how do you get them not to, like, is that a problem if they're just talking about one brand? I feel like it's the New York Times. You got to report a story with, like, all the facts.
It is a problem. So we actually have a rule. And so our rule is they only can have one brand sponsor. And that one brand sponsor can be mentioned only 3 times.
oh, just to keep going up front. Yes. Like, if you're not going to stick to this.
Then we don't do it. And actually, we've turned down some really big ones, like Jennifer Aniston and a few other really big celebrities, because they just have too many. She has too many.
She had a Vino.
Exactly. And she also had Living Proof.
Oh, dry eye restasis.
Yeah. Yes. There was just nothing that wasn't sponsored.
Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Right.
She's a hot commodity.
Crazy. Yeah. I gotcha.
So that's our rule. And so if somebody has two sponsors, for example, sometimes, because that's our rule, they have to negotiate with their sponsor and say, can I do this story?
For this brand instead of this brand.
Yes, but I won't be mentioning you.
All this wheeling and dealing. Skin deep. I love it. So, okay, so we know that, like, you and Gwyneth are probably not going to be besties or go out for drinks or enemas or whatever is going on. But tell me who's, like, a girl that you really felt like we clicked and you wanted, like, to hang out after?
Well, I wanted to hang out. I don't know if she felt the same way. Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. She's just like a cutie.
She seems like a real person. I mean, I've had to interview her. I interviewed her, obviously, for the book, but I also randomly had to interview her for some, like, front row Fashion Week quotes. Those are always the most miserable because everybody's so busy and crammed in. And occasionally, in the New York Times, we want these random celebrity quotes like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I have to go up there in this mad crush of people, and hopefully they say something funny or quippy. And she's just lovely every time. She's just like, this sucks. This is so crowded. She's like very much like real. With you, mm-hmm. you know, instead of like trying to be like, I'm the celebrity. You're the reporter. So she's lovely and she's funny. She's just cool.
Anybody else? Who else would be in your girl gang?
Zoe Kravitz would be amazing.
Oh.
Yeah. Not to be creepy, but she I don't know if she still does, but she used to live in my neighborhood, I believe. Because I used to see her at, like, the gym and stuff and pretend like I didn't know her because I didn't want to be that lurky person. So she's beautiful and seems so cool.
So she's someone who, now, I don't recall, I did read the book, but I don't recall exactly what she used. But I feel like, and I can even do this, I'm sure Jen can too, but when we have people, like, spill out their bags, I'm like, oh, of course you have a little bag full of Glossier or you have a bag full of RMS. You can kind of predict what people might like. Or have you gotten good at that? Or do you think, like, that people are still surprising you all the time?
People do surprise me. I try to keep an open mind.
Any surprises?
Well, in this book or just for the column, like, in general?
Like, in, like, your column.
So I have one coming out with the singer Jhené Aiko. She just released a new album. She was surprisingly forthcoming. Like, she talked about vampire facials. She talked about Fraxels. She talked about how she gets vitamin IV drips. I thought that was lovely. Yeah, but, you know, a lot of times they won't talk about it, even if they're doing it.
So as a beauty writer, you're probably used to hearing, like, the same products again and again, the same stock answers, the same tips, even if you ask them for tips. So what's the last time, other than the surprise, because she was sharing so much, were you surprised, like, oh, who knew this person was into La Mer and they're, like, 12 years old or whatever?
Yeah. So I did not know Emma Roberts was such a beauty fan. She's a hardcore beauty fan.
She seems kind of, like, fresh-faced or whatever.
Yes. And I thought she would have much more... I shouldn't say teenage because she's not a teenager. I thought she would have younger taste, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But she doesn't, and she is hardcore. She, like, studies it. She told me she goes and, like, when she's on set, she goes to the local department store and, like, walks the floor and, like, goes to the counters, which I think is even daunting.
That's funny.
Right. And so she actually told me about products I hadn't even tried. So she, when I interviewed her, she told me about this Amore Pacific dual cream situation. Really interesting.
She's did you very then into go it. Try the Amore Pacific?
I did.
And?
I did. Really good.
So she knows
it is
what
a sophisticated. She does. She does.
So what are some of the people's names, like the experts' names, that keep on coming up again and again? Like,
well,
Durham's
I have.
Hairstylist.
Who's hairstylist?
Derms and hairstylists. Are there names that keep on coming up again and again?
Well, I have my favorite. So I love Serge Normand. I just think he's so good.
And do multiple people mention his name? I mean, you've, like, SJP and all these people.
Sure. I mean,
Julia Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Julia Roberts, obviously, huge, huge fan of his. I just think, and also, he gave me the best haircut of my life. I was, like, 8 months pregnant. I mean, I kind of just gave up at that point. I was like, my hair is growing out. Oh, well, you know, and he somehow did some sort of magic to it and like made my face look skinnier. And
wow.
It was amazing. So he's just super talented and really nice. So on top of that, it's just like a wonderful, wonderful package. He is extremely busy, though. So that is the one tough thing. I love Christophe Robin.
And he comes up a lot?
In the book, he's mentioned both, quite a bit, actually.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So both Serge and Christophe are in there. I just felt like when I was writing, I had to.
And what about, like, dermatologists? Are people vocal about their derms? Because I feel like that's still kind of a little bit of a private thing with certain people.
I agree. People do talk about their derms, but they don't necessarily divulge everything they're doing.
He's just checking me for moles that are
right.
Weird.
Yeah.
You're like, uh-huh.
Or they'll, like, I think, like, appeal is acceptable, you know? But right. They're not saying, oh, I'm trying this filler and that filler and doing this, you know,
special
thing.
So who are
thing.
Some of the hot names?
For derms?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Jared Frank is the one that comes up. Patricia Wexler is old school. She does come up. Dendi Engelman does Sofia Vergara and Christina Ricci. Let's see who's another one. There's Dr. Lanzer, of course. Oh my goodness, he's everywhere. Does the guy even sleep? It's true, right? He does yeah. So many celebrities.
We hear those names.
Yeah, we had Dr. often. Frank and Dr. Wexler on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And you know whose name came up? And I always don't know how to say this. Joelle Scioco? Chioco?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Frenchy, I keep Frenchy. Hearing about her. What's the story there? She's a facialist, right?
She is, and she's in France. She's in Paris. She's very hard to get into. I would say the comparable in New York would be Isabelle Balise. Mm-hmm. Which is also similar to, do you guys know her?
No.
She's a facialist, and it's like a year waiting list or something. She's French.
What the hell is she doing?
Something
a
really
year
special.
Waiting list?
Yeah.
We need to get like, in on that.
There's like a whole massage thing yeah. happening.
She's doing something else. Like a year waiting list.
I don't know. But Joelle, wow. I've heard, just from when, even when I'm interviewing celebrities, her name comes up weirdly a lot, and I'm like, if it's in Paris.
Joelle? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very inconvenient.
Are you flying to Paris?
Who goes to Isabel?
I think so. I mean, all sorts of people. You know who I think went to her before their wedding was Emily Weiss of Glossier.
Okay.
Yeah. But you, I mean, I imagine it's Upper East Side clientele. Because how, I mean, who's waiting a year?
I mean, like, I can give you five places to go right now.
Which are which are amazing, right?
But no, I'm sure she's great and I would love to go.
Just kidding. We love you. Can we come
Isabel,
in?
Isabel, we're outside. We're outside. Can you see us? Ding dong.
It's my mascara calling. We'll do the express version.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Quick and dirty. The quick and dirty. So in your book, you ask a few experts about how social media has changed their jobs. Do you get the same answers about that?
The same answers? Probably
yeah.
not.
What are you
know,
hearing?
So, for example, Pat McGrath is really good at social media. She loves social media. She's completely embraced it. And then there's, like, the old school guys like Serge who doesn't totally love it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, he just feels like there's something intimate about doing hair and being backstage, and it's sort of, like, breaching that privacy, but at the same time, he has to do mm-hmm. it, right, mm-hmm. to stay relevant in a way. So I don't think the answers are quite the same. And then you have Mario D., Kim Kardashian's hair makeup artist.
Can you not
artist.
Say his last name either?
I can't say
Didn't
it.
Either. Let's just go. Imam.
Do you really? Is that
oh,
how
I
you say it?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So good.
I just say Mario and leave it at that. You know,
he's just Mario.
Know. Yeah. Mario.
First name basis.
Yeah.
So Mario is interesting. So when I also interviewed him for the book, and when I first did, I thought, okay, I assume that this guy's going to come out and say social media is amazing and like call it a day. Instead, he is very ambivalent about it. I think he recognizes it for what it is and how necessary it is. But he, in many ways, he realizes that sometimes he has to put out photos or looks that he doesn't 100% love, but he knows that will be a good social media hit. So
like he knows this will get a lot of likes. I'm going to put it on my gram.
Exactly. But I don't love it.
You've met him, right, Jess?
Yes, I met him.
Did you get that vibe?
I mean, we didn't get that deep. We just kind of talked about.
You didn't get skin deep, Jess?
I didn't get skin deep. I didn't get skin deep with Mario, but I'd love to. Honestly, it sounds so pervy. I did not mean it like that. So I don't know. I think it's interesting that he would be ambivalent about it because that's like what made his career. So I wonder if he's become like more reflective about it now that he's
massive success.
Now he got the golden ring. Now maybe he's thinking about, okay, this isn't exactly how I want to use it. I don't know. Mario, tell us what's up.
Yeah. You also talked to Patrick Ta. I know you had these little, within the columns, then there are like these other sections where it's their story. And I thought that was a interesting contrast, the two of them, because they're both like makeup artists, but Patrick came from counter work, like he worked at MAC, and he's all about Instagram. And then Mario was like trained the usual way and sort of has a different vibe. So it was one of the parts of the book I liked. Other thing I liked, I was surprised. New York Times style section is like so highbrow in fashion, even with the T magazine, like everything costs like $4,000. But then with beauty, there are some mass products that just came up again and again. There's definitely some like prestige products, but what were some of the like drugstore finds or mass products that you keep hearing about from the people that you interview?
Well, definitely Cetaphil. CeraVe, is that how you pronounce it? CeraVe?
I don't know. It's a similar cleanser, but it's
CeraVe. CeraVe.
Yeah, there's like a little accent. CeraVe. Cleanser Week. We did a giveaway.
Yeah, I know. We had an amazing giveaway.
I didn't even think about how to pronounce it. I must have done it right when we did the giveaway.
And there's body lotion, too. That's
and
very
people
popular.
Talk like the body lotion?
Mm-hmm.
What about makeup-wise? Is there any mass makeup that...
Mascara is usually the mass, I feel like. You know,
which ones do people like?
L'Oreal is usually mentioned a lot.
Voluminous?
Yes. So good, right?
So good.
It's the best drugstore line, I feel like, for mascara. What else is mentioned?
How about you personally? Any drugstore favorites?
You know who has really good blush? It's the L'Oreal cream blush. I was on set with Madonna's makeup artist. We were doing this like little video shoot for New York Times ages ago. And it's this like, it's actually hard to find. It's this like rose gold cream blush. It's like one of the best.
I know exactly. It's like age. It's like the age as like
age
the word
perfect.
Age in it.
I don't know, but it's creamy.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's like orgasm, but like $7.
Mm-hmm. And cream instead of powder.
Right.
Yes. But it has like a powdery finish.
Yes.
Yes.
Cream to powder finish.
Oh my God. I used to have it and I don't anymore. Do they still make it?
I don't know because I couldn't find it on L'Oreal's website because I want to recommend it. And so it's so good, right? It's a mistake
to
not.
Brought it back to my memory.
I think we need to, on the blog, we're going to have to dig into this and find out what it was.
Yes.
If there's anything.
Resurrect.
Then we'll call L'Oreal and be like, listen, Fat Mascara needs you to bring this product back.
It was so delicious.
Yeah, totally.
Is there an eyeshadow maker that you really love, like a brand?
My favorite is the Dior Mono Shadow. It's like a very specific one. It's the shimmery one.
And like the kind of like bouncy or like creamy?
Oh, not that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I do like
Forgive
those. Those are... You're forgiven.
I thought I knew it all.
You look so chastised.
No, it is really good. The bouncy texture.
Daniel Martin introduced me. He was on the podcast, like, you know, like, oh my God, it's like going to be 2 years in the winter. These little like Dior shadows, and they were little pots and they were bouncy and they're awesome. They make creamy ones and bouncy ones.
And you mean the compact ones, like a trapezoid kind of shape with a.
It's like a square.
Yeah, with the CD
in
it.
It's like the Pro... Exactly. And it's like the Pro Effects Longwear or something. It's like a super long name.
On the blog. We'll put it on the blog.
Very cool.
Okay, you said the Amore Pacific product that Emma Roberts told you about. Like, you're like, I'm going to go out and get this myself. Was there anything else that, like, you were turned on to by an interview subject and you're like, thank God so-and-so told me it's my new favorite?
Well, this is so random, but I interviewed Nicole Richie, and she does the Lucas Papa ointment, and she does it up her nose for flights, and I swear it works. I've been doing it ever since, and I have not gotten a cold ever since.
That's a great tip.
So you take a Q-tip, you put it in Lucas Pawpaw ointment, and then what, just like run it around your nostrils?
I don't even do the Q-tip. Yeah.
You're just shoving like the Vaseline-y stuff up your nose.
the pinky finger.
Okay. I was trying to get technical about it, sorry.
That's a classy way with a Q-tip.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Jam your little digit up there.
Not to get geeked out on this, but that makes sense to me because we have mucus in our nose because it's supposed to keep out germs, but then you get all dehydrated on the plane, so you lose that barrier.
That's right. And for a super long flight, it helps.
Richie's putting it back with Pawpaw. Okay. I already asked you about the overrated products,
right.
So we'll move on from that.
So you have a small section on French girl beauty products. We've talked about this ad nauseum on the podcast, but I want to talk about it again. Why are they so popular?
I think women are obsessed over it. I just think that, you know, you see these beautiful French girls that come to New York City and you're like, why is the hair so perfect? Why is the skin so clear? Why are they glowing? And it looks like they have no makeup on. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think, in fact, they devote a lot of time and energy to it. Truly.
It's not as effortless as it seems.
No, it's not effortless, but I think they just have such good taste level, I guess you could say, on each step that the final effect is so wonderful.
What are the Frenchy things that you hear that come up a lot product-wise?
Oh, of course, the Bioderma. Bioderma.
The micellar water? Or yes. Is it makeup remover? It's sort
same
of
a, thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Isn't it really? We had a whole debate about this on the podcast. We're like, micelles, whatever. It's makeup remover.
I'm totally susceptible to it, too, because the other day I received a sample of this. I forgot the exact name, but something like Coco Olé or something. Something milk cocoa. Mm. It smells like orange blossoms. It smells amazing. Mm. But apparently Karl Lagerfeld dumps a whole container of this in his bath every single morning. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I should try this. So
you take
I
a bath
did it.
Every morning?
I don't bathe at all normally. I just shower. Like, yeah. I just thought, okay, you know, I'm going to spoil myself tonight. I did it after the kids were asleep. I tried it out. I smelled wonderful, like an orange blossom, but ooh. I really felt almost no difference.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in my head, wow, I totally fell for it.
There's so many crazy rumors about Karl Lagerfeld. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I want to believe it.
He's such a
did you use the whole bottle like Carl?
No, I couldn't. It's bit. So much. Like, I'm like, what was he sitting in? Like, it's so much.
You mentioned orange blossom. I know you're a big fragrance person, right?
I am.
So tell us about Ellis Brooklyn or Brooklyn Ellis.
Ellis Brooklyn.
Okay. What is it? Why'd you start a line?
So, I mean, first of all, I was pregnant, so probably crazy. I probably lost my mind. But mainly, I wanted something that was like a cleaner fragrance option. So I saw all these amazing things happening with Tata Harper and RMS, but nothing was going on with fragrance. And I frankly was like, I just didn't understand why. And so I've always loved fragrance, and I was talking with perfumers, and this is when, like, the niche fragrances were rising, and I was like, why can't, you know, there be a brand that's out there but work with amazing perfumers, like the best perfumers there are, but, you know, have this angle where we are trying to make it a little safer. We are trying to take the parabens out and the phthalates out. So that's where the idea came from. Because I was pregnant with Ellis, my firstborn.
Oh, hence the name. Yeah.
That's right.
And do you live in?
I live in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. How lucky is Ellis to have this fragrance line?
I know. I have a second child now named Sky, and I feel so bad. So now,
poor kid.
Now I either have to do a scent, or I don't even know. I have to figure out something because it's not. I need a bestseller for her, you know. But yeah, so that's where the idea came from. The brand is 2 years old now. It took a long time to come up with the right scents and the right formulations, but yeah, we're 2 years old.
How many fragrances are there?
We just launched our sixth.
And what is that one?
It's called Sci-Fi. It's a vanilla-based fragrance. I actually do not like vanilla. And so the creation of the scent was actually interesting. So I gave my perfumer, Jerome Epinette, the brief.
Ooh. Oh, the best.
Hello. Love him, right?
Don't get, like, bottom-of-the-barrel perfumers.
No,
right to
no,
the top.
No.
Okay.
So he created Gypsy Water. He created Belle de Freak. He also did the Clementine California, the Atelier Cologne one that just came out.
I love that one.
It's great, right?
I love it. Love that one. It may have replaced my first favorite Atelier one.
Which one was that?
The Rose and
Anonym.
Wow, what a talent.
He is just wonderful, and I think he really gets, like, the modern sense of fragrance. So so I told him, okay, look, I want to take an ingredient that we know really, really well and turn it into something different. I don't want it to be, because the fragrance was called Sci-Fi, I didn't want something that was so weird and so out there that no one would wear it. I feel like I've smelled enough of those in my life. I wanted just something unique, but in a way that was, like, one step past what we thought it could be. So he knew I did not like vanilla. And so he came back with this, which I thought was very bold. But I love it. So he actually layered citrus over it. Mm-hmm. So there's bitter orange, there's green tea, there's freesia, and then vanilla. So it's this, if you can say that, it's a very clean vanilla. It's almost elegant in a way.
So it's not warm and fuzzy. It's a more crisp vanilla, like a
it's not quite
vanilla?
Crisp, it's like an elegant vanilla.
Okay.
It's hard to describe, hence Sci-Fi. So
I'm intrigued.
Yes. Does it come in a spray or a lotion or all that stuff?
It only comes in the Eau de Parfum.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if it does well, we've had some requests actually already for it to come in a body milk. So if it does well, then we'll see how it goes.
Very nice. So in addition to your own products and the ones you've told us about, what else are some of your favorites? Other fragrances even, I guess we could ask you that first.
I think Tom Ford's Tobacco Vanilla is so good. Zoe Kravitz uses it.
Done.
I'm a Zoe fan girl.
Of course she does, like Tobacco Vanilla.
Doesn't it make so much sense? Mm-hmm. Like, let's see, what's another great fragrance?
Or skincare. I mean, you're pretty much glowing. Which derm do you go to, if any?
I used to go to Dr. David Colbert's office, but I did not go to Dr. Colbert. I find actually some of the top dermatologists, they're so busy. I like need actual attention, I feel like. So I don't want to sit there and like compete. Mm. So I get somebody like in their office, if that makes any sense.
It's
somebody
a good tip. Like,
right. Yeah. Don't go necessarily for the top dog.
Right.
Go for someone who works.
But they've been
practice.
Trained likely by the same person.
Exactly. And then they have the time and they're not trying to, you know, field interviews, deal with celebrities and all that brand building stuff. Right now, though, my favorite person out of Dr. Colbert left. So now I'm sort of like bouncing around. I'll go to Dendy. And I'm thinking I want to try Dr. Frank, but I'm not sure. I think he's much more sciencey.
Oh, yeah. He's very high tech.
Right. He's very into like the sciencey stuff. But I feel like since you have kids, it's like you need the help.
Yeah. Like, do what you will with me.
Seriously. I went into, after I had my second one, I waited until I finished breastfeeding, etc. I went into Dan Jean, who's like an esthetician. Do you guys know her? Mm-hmm. Not by her, by one of the people on her staff. They like zapped 100 tiny little moles off my neck and chest area. It was
Oh my God, your chest is flawless.
Painful.
No, but I'm looking at you now and I'm like, wow.
It's not even high tech.
You don't have checkles at all. Remember chest freckles?
They,
I forget where it came from. Oh, yeah. It's like a Saturday Night Live thing. Chuckles.
They burnt it all off.
Did it hurt?
It was really painful.
Was it worth it being?
Oh, my God.
Well, now it's worth it.
You're like, look at this décolletage. How about skincare products? Are you on the Cetaphil or CeraVe bandwagon since you
No.
What do you use?
So I'm trying things all the time. Mm. I truly do try things. I actually tried one recently that's so good. It's the Innisfree Intensive Hydrating Serum.
I am all about this brand that came from Korea. They just opened in New York City.
At Union Square. So, so good. And for a really great price point, I thought.
Yeah.
And also, they don't put one of my pet peeves is I find a lot of the companies now when they do serums, they put a gazillion tons of dimethicone in there, which is the, do you guys know what that is?
Like a silicone?
Yeah, it's like a silicone.
And why don't you like that?
Because it's like cheating.
Oh, because it gives it a nice slip, you mean?
Yes. And it's not really doing anything, right? Like if you put a little bit in, that's fine because it's sort of acting like a protective barrier. But if it's like the number one or two ingredient, then no, you're cheating.
It's not because it's a chemical or whatever. It's just like, well, it's not moisturizing you. It's not giving you an active benefit. It's just laying there and make it feel slippery.
Exactly.
Mm.
If anything, it might be clogging your pores.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So Innisfree doesn't cheat so much. If you look at the ingredients, quite good.
Okay.
And then I also tested a great cleanser. I'm really into cleansers. I think that cleansing is like that like underestimated step.
It is.
Right? Yeah. Like people will spend like $80 on their moisturizer, but like, $10 cleanser, which is like maybe it's not about money, but it's about like quality, right? So I really like the Nerium double cleansing wash. It's really good.
I don't know this.
But does this mean like you're like not down with like a Cetaphil?
Cetaphil doesn't do it for me. I think I'm too oily or something for
it. But are you like against drugs? Sorry, it was too specific. Are you against like a drugstore cleanser?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
I'm saying against. Like you've got like boxing gloves.
I've not heard of Nerium. Do we know where this brand is from?
It's like it's either online only.
It's like a drugstore type brand.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to look into that. So you use their double cleanser?
Double cleansing wash.
Hmm. Okay. Do you have to do it twice?
No.
So why is it
theoretically
called that?
It's supposed to replace your double cleanse.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. So it's like we went from one cleanser to double cleansing, but now it's like just now it's back to one.
But they're gonna call it double.
Marketing, right?
Yeah. Like, so confusing.
Well, now it's the 3-step double cleanse that does what one step does. Like it's so confusing.
You're not in candles yet, right?
No, we have candles.
You do have candles.
We do have candles.
We featured one in Mary Claire, even.
Yes, clean burning.
Clean burning. Okay, so like basically what area do you want to get into next? Now, like, where else is Ellis going to grow?
So right now we're working on fragrance delivery innovation. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. So we're trying different forms. So we love Eau de Parfum. We love our body milks. We love our candles. I just feel like the category could use some technology.
Mm-hmm. Not just like a rollerball.
No, exactly. And, you know, great. You know, put out a travel spray roll bar. Great. But I'm talking about like the actual form. So I can't share yet.
Okay. I understand. I respect.
Stay tuned.
Sure. Okay. Stay tuned. For fall 2018, we're planning.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so you only have a year to wait.
Ellis goes high tech. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
This
Thank
was awesome. You. We learned a lot. I think we shared some great information.
Good. I hope you guys had fun.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
It's time to raise a wand.
It is time. What should we raise a wand to?
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
So, you know that I'm a psycho about my color right now.
Your hair color, your lip color, your eye color.
It's all about color. It's all about color, ladies.
You heard it here first, gentlemen.
I'm an autumn, so.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
Well, listen. I want to protect my color, okay? I can't get in all the time to get my color done, and neither can you.
Oh, so you are talking about your hair color.
No, I'm talking about my hair color right now. So I am using this color depositing hair mask. I know, Sharon Durham, you're not into the color, the conditioning shampoos with the color and everything, but I did find one that's good for my red hair, and I need to share with you guys. Orlando Pita Play Amplitint Color Depositing Hair Mask.
Amplitint.
Amplitint in copper red. Now, it's at Ulta right now for $15. It's half off.
That's a good deal.
I know.
For a color depositing product?
Yes. It's $30 normally. Now,
if I had less Botox, I could raise my eyebrows even higher than I am right now. That's now, amazing.
I went to my colorist and I told her about like how I can't get in all the time. I'm noticing it gets some fading. I get like, you know, grays coming in. What can I do? And she's like, it's not going to, you know, it's not a replacement for coming into the salon. She's like, but try this. And I did try it. I tried it last night. Do you notice that my hair is a little bit more red and vibrant today?
It's very vibrant, actually.
Right? So I popped it on. I left it on for 10 minutes. To say you could put it on for any time between 5 and 30 minutes. 30
Vibrant's
scared me.
The wrong word. I'm changing it now that I'm looking rich. It looks richer.
Rich, right? So I left it on for 10 minutes while I, like, you know, shaved. I put on, like, a face mask thing.
Pet a cat.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't like water, so I can't put her in there.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. It looks good.
So I trust this formula. I like it. I have red hair. They have, you know, brunette shades. They have other shades. Give it a try. It's at Ulta right now, $15.
Okay. I'm going to start my razor wand with a little bit of a pet peeve. These people are pushing seasons like nobody's business.
Oh, God. These people got to go.
These people that walk around like it's deep fall and deep winter with their, like, I got to get out my plaid and my big scarf and my coat. It's so brisk and chilly. And I'm like, it's 80 degrees
still. They have,
still,
like, a venti, like,
chill
double cocoa.
Chill out, everybody, with the season pushing. I know you like your new clothes, but chill out. Here's what I'll raise a wand to. A season transitional lip color. So, yes, summer's over. We're not quite into deep fall. I like to go darker in the colder months, a little brighter in summer. So right now I'm an in-between lip color. Mine of choice is NARS Velvet Matte Lip Pencil in Provocative Red. Now, the name is a misnomer, if I'm using that word correctly. It's not like a red red. It almost is like a bruisey red that's sort of like terracotta-y and just sinks into your lips and look like just bitten. Does that make sense?
Ooh. Do you put a balm underneath it?
Just bitten. Yeah, actually, with the velvet matte, if your lips are a little bit dry because the seasons are changing, put the balm first and then the lip color. It gives it a nice gloss. If you have nice smooth lips, then you could do it really, you could do a whole bunch of it for like a deep pigmented version. But I like to sort of stain it on, if you will.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing it now, but you would not call this a red, right?
No.
Right. It looks like my lips were bitten and just a little bit berry kissed. And it works on a lot of people. So it looks really dark in the pencil, but don't be fooled. You could rub it on your hand and then press your finger into the color and press it onto your lips, or put it on after balm to sheer it out a bit. It's just one of those good in between. It looks good.
I hear what you mean.
Yeah. I guess I could stop rambling about it. I'm done. Raise a wand.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.